Hello, and welcome everybody to Hump Day Hangout. Today we've got a great show planned for you today. A different cast of characters that pop up on your screen. Typically, you've got Chief Salka, Chief Lasky, Chief Halton, myself, Chief Thompson. Two of the five of us are here. The other three, I think, are out in engaged in spreading the good word and making the fire service better. So with that being said, we have an interesting show today. Chief Thompson and I talked the other day, and he had a great idea, and that was to bring, we wanted to bring some newer members to our organizations and just have a conversation about what brought you here, what brought you to the respective organizations that you work for. We're also joined by a volunteer firefighter out of Wichita West, because I wanted to get some perspective from the volunteer side of things. But we wanted to just have a conversation about what brought you into the fire service, what brought you to where you're working, what gets you out of bed in the morning, what are you excited about your job, what do you think the outlook of the fire service is as you're seeing it through your lens. And so with that being said, I'll be excited to get started with that. I want to start off and make sure everybody's aware that FDIC is on. It has been, there was a scheduling conflict that's been all resolved. The dates that are out there right now, August the 2nd through the 7th, those are good dates. The registration is open. Obviously, if you've been to FDIC before, you know that lodging is a premium, so don't wait. But you can go to FDIC.com and get all the relevant information to get yourself registered and find some lodging. And among the many fantastic programs offered this year, you can sign up, obviously, for Chief Scott Thompson's program. Scott, what is your program this year?
I'm doing a four-hour workshop training basics and essentials from the candidate to the chief. I've done it 2 years now, but I'm going to be doing that on Tuesday, four-hour workshop. That's
perfect.
It.
Perfect. So with that being said, again, August the 2nd through the 7th, Indianapolis. Don't miss it. And you can go to FDIC.com to get the relevant information there. So let's just start here. Before we go around and introduce the panelists, I wanted to, so sitting to my right and to his right, I got Dean Felposh sitting here. Dean is retiring. Today is his last day. It's bittersweet. He's got a fantastic opportunity moving on to do something different, and we wish him all the best. He's one of those guys that's leaving here, and it leaves a mark, because I like Dean, not only his professionalism and his ability at every position that he's held in this organization, but he's also just a fantastic guy to hang around and a lot of fun. And Dean loves to laugh, and he loves to find just the right amount of humor in all the right places at the right times. And honestly, that's one of the things I'm truly going to miss most about him, is just being able to, you can always look at him and know that he's got everything under control, and he kind of make you smile at the end of things. And so the fun thing about today is that on his right is Bradley, and Bradley is Dean's son, and works in Grapevine Fire Department, which is located just to our south. Bradley just got promoted to captain within the last couple months.
August.
So almost a year. But Bradley used to come up here with Dean years ago and ride with him growing up. And so we like to think that the success that he's having and that Grapevine is having is directly related to the Louisville Fire Department. And probably what he does on a daily basis, he learned it all here. This is a really special day for certainly Dean and Bradley, but for the Louisville Fire Department, and it is a great story, and it's a lot of fun to when Dean said Bradley was going to come up ride with you today, and I thought, you know what, that's not a better way to spend your last day than with family and with certainly somebody that you influenced into this career, which dovetails into what we're going to talk about today. So anything you want to add there,
We want to hear from you. I just said you're the funniest guy I know.
So well, let's
do something.
Well, on the way here, my wife told me to, you know, not to be cute, not to try to be funny, don't be handsome, don't try to be smart, just be yourself. That's what she said. So here I am.
There you go. Bradley, this has got to be an interesting day for you. I think you've got to be really proud, really happy. But obviously, I would make the assumption that your dad had a lot. I'm kind of facing this way because I want to make sure they can hear me. But that your dad had a lot to do with where you are today and getting in this line of work.
There's no denying that you know his walk influenced me 100%, and you know him choosing to take this career path when he did, and living my life the way that he has, the right way. Somebody told me a long time ago to take our last name and the name of the city on our uniform to leave it better than it was when we got it. And he's definitely done that, and I'm sure proud of what he's done for our family name. And I'm proud of you know, the things that I learned here, the things I was able to experience as a young kid and a teenager, and now being able to roll that into what I do day in, day out, taking care of my own people at my own house. What better way to end a career?
Well, I appreciate you guys coming in here. You don't have to stay. You're certainly welcome to stay, but I'm sure someone's buying you lunch somewhere, so I don't want to keep you from that.
Oh,
but,
thank you very much.
I appreciate you guys coming in here. I
appreciate the nice words, Chief. He was 4 years old when I walked in the door in a long road. Thank you all very much.
Congratulations, team.
Thank you.
Best of luck, buddy.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Yes.
All right. So what I want to do now is we've got an interesting panel of people today, and I want to go around rather than me introduce them. I want them to just come on here and tell you who they are and where they're working, and where they came from, and then we'll kind of get in and talk about our topic today. So let's start with to my across the table from me, Chris Lee. So jump on there, Chris.
My name's Christopher Lee. Been a firefighter for what, just 6 months now. I'm brand new to the service. So I'm not just new to the department. I'm new to the fire service in general. Previously, I was in the military about 7 years. I was an infantryman with psychological operations for First Special Forces Command. With that being said, it was a transition to a fire service, but not much, because we carry the similar value as a military, as well as the fire service does. And we also have Louisville Fire Department has a creed that we follow. It's very similar to the military creed that we follow. I know it sounds a little cheesy, but everybody, I'm sure all the firefighters or military personnel or police officers, they wanted to be what they are because they wanted to serve. And obviously that's what I wanted to do. And, you know, we could get into more details why I chose fire service in specifics, but.
Yeah, we'll talk about that here in just a little bit. All right, thanks for that. And then I've got, we drug him in here because he's riding ambulance with Lee. So as we all know, that riding ambulance, sometimes there's pain points that come along with that. And today I did want to give him a chance because I think he can add some value to this conversation. But Town, you want to step up there and tell them who you are.
Michael Town. I've been in Louisville 2.5 years, almost 3 years now. Previously was employed in Wiley, left there as a driver. And then the first year of my career, spent in Stephenville, Texas. Lots of fun, both places, love both places. But I got a little right at 10 years paid, plenty of volunteer time before that. And there's nothing, in my opinion, I've never had a job or a hobby or anything else that has ever fulfilled my heart like being a fireman does. So that's what gets me up in the morning.
All right. So Michael, thanks for that. And then I'm going to throw it over to Rodrigo. Rodrigo's another Louisville guy. So Rodrigo, jump on here and tell us who you are and just a brief little snippet there about you.
Yes, sir. My name is Rodrigo Thomas. I'm with the Louisville Fire Department. I've been with them 6 months, just me and Lee attended the academy at the same time. So, you know, I was privileged enough to have him in my crew. But previously before that, I was with Searcy Fire Department in Arkansas for about 4.5 years. You know, I started with them. Whenever I started with them, I had no knowledge of the fire service at all. The reason I got brought in was my brother was actually with them a year before I was. And he would tell me, you know, how awesome it was. And for the longest time, I didn't believe him until, you know, I joined. And, you know, that really drove me to become better. So obviously, the reason I wanted to be a fireman was all my life I've been helped, you know, ever since I was little. So I wanted to be, you know, somebody's helper one day. So that was the reason.
Thanks. And then I'm going to throw it out to Michael Albert. Michael, you come to us. I'd asked Chief Lasky when we put this idea together, but I wanted to get a perspective kind of for the next hour of someone that's serving as a volunteer. I thank Chief Lasky for that, but Michael, jump on here and tell us who you are and where you're serving at.
My name is Michael Albert. I'm the assistant chief at the Wichita West Volunteer Fire Department, which is in Wichita County. We border the south side of Wichita Falls. As far back as I remember, my dad was a volunteer firefighter with the Allen Fire Department back with Chief Thompson. And I think Chief actually served with him and my brother for a little while. And so that's all I've ever known. And I love doing it. I volunteered in Denton County with Double Oak for a while until life changes moved me to Wichita County. And been serving here for about 5 years, all in total about 24 years of volunteer service.
Excellent. Well, thank you for the service, and I appreciate you coming on with us today. Scott, I'm going to kick this over to you. You've got two of your guys, and let's bring them on and find out who they are.
Sure, and we just hired a great class and excited to get both of these gentlemen on. Go ahead, I'll let you guys kind of introduce yourself and get your background. Jordan, if you want to go first and tell us a little bit about you and why you're here.
Sure. My name is Jordan Lindell. I've been a fireman. I think I hit my 10-year mark here in August. So I've been a fireman for a little while. I started off in the Air Force as a firefighter. Started that career there, did that for 6 years. Great time, wonderful. Just separated and wanted to do other things. And I stepped away from the fire service for a little while. Rode a train as a conductor for Bud and Snore in Santa Fe. That was a fun job. I did that for 6 months, and then got called to ministry as a youth pastor for 3 years. Then got called back into just being a servant, and that's what I've always wanted to do. And then I got hired at Longview. Been at Longview for about, I guess, almost 4 years. And then here recently with the colony, making the transition here. Been here since March, so really new, fresh out the gate, new at the colony. Colony attracted me just from what they communicate to the exterior, what they communicate on the interior, the camaraderie, the traditions that we follow, those type of things that I've longed to be a part of and wanted to be a part of, and just training every single day. So I wanted that, desired that, and came after it.
Thanks, Jordan. We're glad to have you, man. We're looking forward to a great career with you. Josh, you're up. Tell us a little bit about yourself and why you're here.
All right. My name is Josh Gilmore. I started off the fire service in 2013 with the Bryan Fire Department. Spent about 4 years there. Had an excellent mentor there, kind of started me off not doing the job for the paycheck, but actually improving my skill set. He's the one that actually led me to the Spring Fire Department, which is near Houston. Had a fantastic officer there who helped me dive a little bit deeper into my skill set. From there, I had a unique opportunity to move over to the East Montgomery County Fire Department. And again, worked for an incredible fire officer who, I guess, just pushed my career forward a little bit more. My wife's work took us back to Bryan, so I did a brief stint again with the Bryan Fire Department, all the while kind of having my eye on the colony, doing my research about the department. And I was lucky enough to come on board March 9th with Jordan. And it's been great, assigned to a super passionate engine company, which is what I've always wanted to do. So I'm excited to be here.
Thanks, Josh. I'm glad to have you. You spent a little time with Chief Reinwald down there, didn't you? Was he the chief while you were there in East Montgomery County?
I sure did. Yeah, worked for Chief Reinwald, and my officer was actually Kyle Romagus, who's fairly well known in this little circle here. So it was great to work with those guys. Extremely knowledgeable.
We got a lot of fire. Well, thank you guys both for coming on. We're glad to have you on.
Yep. Thanks for that. So I'm going to start off by saying that when I thought about becoming a firefighter, and actually it was about 15, 16 years old, I wanted to be a pilot, and that's what I was going to work towards. And somewhere in the range of 16 to 17 years old, I decided I was going to pursue a job in the fire service. 100%, I came into this job because it was fun and it was action-packed. It had adrenaline. It was not out of some altruistic notion that I was going to help people and make the world a better place. And there was none of that in me at 18 years old. I set foot in the door of my very first job at 18 and showed up every single day just excited as I could be, because I want something terrible to happen so that I could go out and, would you want to turn that? Just make sure that speaker, sorry. But anyway, I wanted to be a part of whatever was happening. And obviously we all know that that's generally a bad day for somebody, but I'm fortunate. And I've said this before, is that when I matured and got past that excitement and looking for the adrenaline of this job, is that I really truly enjoyed what this job was about. And I liked the teamwork. I liked the group atmosphere. I strayed out of the fire service and went to be a police officer, and I came back. And one of the reasons I came back was that the job as a police officer, for the most part, is a solitary endeavor. You spend a lot of time by yourself, and I just missed the atmosphere of the fire station. But overall, now I fast forward 30 something years, and what I truly enjoy, or what brings me to work every day, is that I enjoy the newness of every day. There's always a new challenge, and that part of it I've always liked, but I still like that today. But I just enjoy the product that we put out there. Serving people, helping people, making a community better, all the things, the buzzwords I could say. But at the end of the day, I just feel like what we do has value. And I feel like I have value because I'm part of that. And honestly, I've kind of felt that way for a long, long time. And I think a lot of that had to do with maturity and just my life experiences and realizing every day. And I could probably tell you a handful of things I know for sure I wouldn't want to do. I get, like everyone here, I'm certain that you get people that tell you all the time, thank you for your service. That's an uncomfortable thing almost for me to hear, because for me, I can't imagine doing anything else. And this is the greatest job in the world. And so when people say, man, thank you so much for what you do, and I'm thinking, man, I should thank, you know, every disaster prone person out there that makes this available to me, because I truly am very thankful for every opportunity that I've had. And that's what makes this place special. But with that being said, I'm 54 years old, and I've been in public safety in one form or another for 36 years, I guess. I started when I was 18, so I should never really throw something out there where I'm doing live math. But obviously my outlook, and I just told you that I had a transition from what I started when I walked in the door of what I was looking for to what I walk in the door and what I get now. So I guess I'd throw that out there first, and anyone can jump in on this, and Scott, you as well. But you had expectations or an idea what this was, and whether this is your first department or whether this is the department you're at now, or Michael, you've been around for a number of different places, but the what is the reality compared to what the expectations were or are for you when you've come in the door? Rodrigo, what do you got for that?
Yes, sir. Well, in reality, I was kind of blinded. You know, I didn't really know anything about the fire service when I started. But after I got on, I experienced everything. You know, I went from literally for 18-year-old or a 20-year-old kid to just a man, I think now. I was able to learn so much new stuff. Most of the stuff is just like common sense stuff that I would never thought of. That's pretty much it, sir.
What about, hey, Jordan, you said you're a train conductor, so you and I need to talk offline because I'm thinking to myself, that's got to be the coolest job ever. But then I talked to a guy who just got hired on with the railroad, and his job was like building trains, like you know, I guess pulling forward, backing them up, hooking up a car and doing that like all day long. And I thought, well, that kind of dispels the mystical, you know, going through Alaska on a train. But with that being said, when you walked into this business, what was, I guess, when you came in here, what was your expectation and what did that settle into?
I think when it comes to firemen, it takes a specific individual, a certain person that desires, you know, I think I've already said the word service. I'm just going to use it again. One that wants to serve, one that wants to be something more than just yourself and be a part of a bigger, something that matters, right? I think, Chief, you kind of mentioned it yourself, like you wanted to be a part of something that was kind of what you get your self-worth from, kind of what you do in your job and how that and plays and works with your self every day. It's the same for me. I just want to come and if I can make somebody's life better and I have that opportunity to do that, I mean, that's the greatest gift I could ever get, whether that's on the ambulance or that's on the fire engine or whatever the case may be, and just treating our people, our citizens with respect that they deserve, just, you know, making their really bad day to, you know, a little bit better. And, you know, I get a lot of rewards from that, and maybe that's a selfish thing, but that's part of the job. You know, you get a little reward whenever you help somebody, even in their, you know, their time of disaster. Sometimes, you know, structure fires are fun. We like to do those things, but, you know, it's just part of the game. We do that stuff.
Michael, from the aspect of the volunteer, and I have a special place in my heart for those who volunteer for communities, and I think that's such a challenging environment right now to maintain an adequate force of response in a volunteer environment. But from your aspect of, I mean, you're doing every single thing that we do, but you're obviously not getting the monetary reward from it. But what's the drive? You've been doing this for a long time in a lot of different communities. What's your drive? What's your motivation?
But when I was a kid, to me, being a firefighter was just racing to the fire station and guys were riding to the back of tailboards. And that was kind of my perception of what the fire service was. You know, my dad was a truck driver during the daytime or during the week. On the weekends, he's a fireman. Today, you know, somebody told me all the training that we have to do as volunteers and EMT school, paramedic school, different certifications to do it correctly and safely. I would still do it, but that's what, you know, turns a lot of people off. But it's another full-time job based on your training on different levels of experience and, fundraising, because a lot of departments spend the majority of their time fundraising, less time training. So that's kind of, you know, that's probably the biggest surprise factor for me in all of our departments I've been involved with was fundraising, the gear and the different training for the novice to the guys that have been here 15 years that, you know, they don't want to go through the basic ladder class again. So like I said, I just remember his dad just showed up at the fire station and hung out. It was a cool place to go. So that's kind of what I started doing. It. That's what I thought it was, but it's changed a little bit.
What can you tell me about this spooled up rookie you got now up there that you probably got to put a harness on that dude?
Well, I don't know if we have a harness that size, but I know he's going to watch this. I'm probably in trouble for that one. But, you know, Chief Lasky came to us a few years ago and he visited one of our fundraisers and he goes, hey, I just want to volunteer. It's like, yeah, okay. I knew who he was, being a volunteer in Double Oak for a number of years. And Chief Lasky came to the Louisville Fire Department. And I remember when he came in and his tenure there and so forth. But It was like, there's no way this guy's going to volunteer for us. And he's been a blessing. He really has. I think we may nominate him for Rookie of the Year. I'm not sure yet. But, you know, he's working towards it. But he brings a total different insight and aspect for us. And he's helping us a ton with recruiting. And it's not just going out and, you know, letting people know we need volunteers, which, you know, most volunteer departments always do. It's if we want to attract the right people, we have to be the right department. We can't be, you know, just, and I've got to be nice, but we're not just going to show up and, you know, all ride out on the front bumper of a fire truck going through a grass fire. You know, we got to do things right and do them safe and still be positive and take care of our community. And I think that we're definitely headed that direction. And Chief Lasky's been an awesome part of that.
I've never met anyone in my life that is as passionate about the fire service. I've never met anybody as passionate about anything in their life as he is as passionate about the fire service. And the level of energy if you haven't spent time around him, and certainly worked for him, Scott's worked for him. But I wish I could replicate it, sell it, put it in a bottle. I don't know. You said something real interesting, and I'm sure that Scott picked up on the phrase, which was great, but if you want to hire the right people or bring in the right people, you got to be the right department. I've never heard anybody say that, but it's an obvious statement, but that's got to ring true, I know, in Scott Thompson's eyes, because I know what the colony is all about, and what's impressive about the colony is that they're staffed up, don't lose people. They've got the right people that gravitate to the department. Right, Scott?
Yeah, and it takes a while to get there. Like I said, we just hired a group of individuals, and I'm as excited about these guys as any, and all of them have experience, came from different places, and you know, everybody's kind of talking about why they got in, and I transitioned a little bit, spent a lot of time with a lot of organizations, spent time as a volunteer, but I'll be honest, I want to go to fires. That's why I got on, and you know, I grew up 28 miles in New York City. There was a volunteer department, Croton-on-Hudson. And I was the biggest pain in the ass in the world, man. If the firehouse door was open, I was in there asking questions and getting on my bike and riding fires and love that. And you know, I'm probably the only one here that's never been a paramedic. I consider that my greatest accomplishment in the fire service is avoiding paramedic school. But, you know, I just love going to fires. And the exciting part now, when I said I transition, is bringing on guys like Jordan and Josh and just being able to give them all the things that they want to be the firefighters that they want to be. I mean, I take such joy now in seeing these members come to our organization, and whether they go to the engine, the truck, or the squad, and then they start to promote and start mentoring. And, you know, that's to me just the coolest thing in the world. And you know, looking forward to these guys carrying that on. So it just, it's so fulfilling in so many ways, but yeah, you have to have the environment. The environment is going to determine the type of people that you get. And, you know, we don't get a large number, but we get a lot of really, really quality candidates, and they come in and they want to train and they want to be busy doing the things, you know, they want to go to fires. They buy into this fire first philosophy, and you know, it's kind of a cool thing to be a part of. I'm just blessed that I get to be a part of this organization with some of these guys.
So Josh, and I always enjoy listening to Scott talk, because he's got a great way of phrasing. He's got such a positive attitude. But so I'm going to allow you the freedom right now. This is your fire chief. And obviously you knew who he was when you came into this organization. What do you need from your administration? What do you need from your fire chief? What is it, the things that brought you into this career? But now the ultimate challenge, I think, anywhere is always keeping people motivated, keeping them intense, keeping them engaged. So, Josh, what do you look for? What is it that Chief Thompson is doing, needs to do better? If you think you should go to paramedic school, then you feel free to say that right now. What do you think?
But I'll let him go with the paramedic school. That seems like an accomplishment to me. As far as what I need from an organization and from an administration, the colony provides that perfectly, which is why I did so much research on this place and went through the testing process. I just require active engagement from the members and the guys every day, you know, whether it be through 911 calls or spending time at the drill yard. I got into this job and was brought up through some excellent supervisors to be a true professional in every sense of the word. And the colony hits that for me. That every morning my crew is in full turnouts drilling at 0700. And that's just what I wanted. And it's amazing to me that's just not my crew, that's across the board. When we went through the candidate academy, that was every crew was out there putting in the work, and not only at the firehouse, we have guys that go to these classes all across the nation, and that's just what I require, you know, to work with guys that are as passionate as I am about the fire service. And as far as what can be done better, I haven't been there long enough to know. Everything that I've seen so far, I almost feel, it sounds ridiculous, but starstruck with the organization. It's just everything that I thought it was going to be.
All right. Hey, Scott, seriously, man, this guy's a fire guy, and he's telling me that he ain't found something wrong with the organization, right? Is it? No, I'm giving you, you work for a great guy, and that is a great organization. I love when we have the opportunity to work together.
Josh, we'll bring you on after a year, and hopefully, you know, you'll still say that, but I know you're new, and I appreciate your comments, but we're, like I said, we're super glad to have you and excited. You do share that passion, and we appreciate that every day.
So, Chris, we're 30 minutes into this, and now I'm going to throw to you. So in your introduction, and I just want to bring this back up and point this out, but, and I don't know, Scott probably picked up on this, but he was talking about his military service, and he said something about psychological ops. Now, I've heard him say this numerous times. I have no idea what it means, and I'm scared to ask. I just know that I don't engage in conversations one-on-one with him, and I'm always real cautious about what he's asking me, and because he gives you that look like he absolutely knows what you're saying when you're not saying it, and so he scares me, but... you come out of the military, I just make the observation of you. I think you're a highly intellectual guy. And so, it's always fun when you, cause I think in our role, Scott, as the fire chief, you get certainly early in someone's career, you get that very formal, you know, they're very stoic. Yes, sir. No, sir. What do you need? So, you know, And so it takes a while to break through that, to see who the person underneath is. And so, and that's why the interaction in the initial training or rookie school or when, because they're much more loose and casual with one another. And that's always fun to watch. Chris is one of those guys for me because he's 100% square away. There's no doubt in my mind that whatever you're explaining, he understands what you're saying. And I think that comes from, you know, I mean, I think he's an intelligent guy, but I also think he's got a lot of world experience that plays into making a really good, solid employee here. But with all that being said, you're a mature guy, got a lot of experience, traveled all over the world. With what you've got in the military, and I have to believe what you get in the military, there are certain aspects that the fire service kind of has a little bit of that foundation, I guess. And so you can carry a little bit of the military and then still live it when you're here. But this isn't your first organization that you've worked for, but has it been your experience? Or do you get from the fire service the I'm assuming that overall the military was a positive experience for you. And so do you get some of that now?
Yes. And then the biggest difference is, I think, it came down to...
Oh, God.
No, the biggest difference between the military, my military experience versus the fire service is the macro and the micro satisfactions of serving people. Like, for example, for my military mission, like, I'll decrease terrorist activities and increase democracy to social populace. It's a big, very... large amount of satisfaction, which you most likely after your mission, you come home, you realize like, did I even do anything kind of type of deal? Versus fire service, I can remember all the calls versus like CPR calls or even a small car accident, just wanting to transport older elders to the hospital. And all I could do as an EMT was just literally hold her hands and just comfort her. And at the end of the day, I get her to the hospital and she thanked me. She said, thank you so much. You're so kind. Thank you for everything you did. So that immediate satisfaction of feedback is what I personally crave. And fire service certainly brings that for me. Every shift I go, I hear, I get that satisfaction. Either, you know, it could be a minor car accident versus something serious as CPR call. You know, I get the satisfaction. When I go home after shift, I go, hey, it was a great day. Versus when I was in the military, you know, yeah, I get awards for it. It was 6 months deployments, 10 months deployments. And they give you a record with what you did, an award or medal. But at the end of the day, I saw myself asking myself, did I really do that? Did I really make that country better? You don't really see that. There's no way you can do that. Because our mission set is 5, 10, 15 years long. So it's one of those things of what attracts me, the fire service, because of the immediate satisfaction of what you get your thing done. Another thing is, I really feel like I'm helping my people. So, you know, I'm serving right now of citizens of Louisville, and I really feel like they're my people. And we have in our creed to treat people like family. So I get that satisfaction. Like, I am serving my team, basically, my country, my city, my department, versus, you know, I go to overseas and I do a country study for 6 months and I don't even know what's going on until 6 months ago, you know? So sometimes you ask yourself, hey, was that really worth it? Versus, you know, I have no doubt in my mind, this is my city. So those are what drives me to be in this department, just be a firefighter in general. But I mean, it could be different things, you know? There, I'm sure there are other people that crave more of a macro level of satisfaction. But for me, I was a very micro guy. And that's what I come to work every day.
I've always said, people, like, I enjoy the process of mowing a lawn because I can see it. I can make progress that I can measure as I go. And when I'm done, I can see a finished product. It's interesting he said that, because in my mind, I could never think of, for me, for my personality, a worse environment or situation to be part of, like to do research on solving cancer. Couldn't think of a better accomplishment for scientists or researchers or people that are involved in that endeavor. But I couldn't spend 25 years doing something that contributed 10% of something of a whole that I may never see. I have to have something tangible that shows me that I've contributed or I've done something. And honestly, that part of me is taking me a long, long time to get there. Michael Towne, I wanted to ask you, because I remember an interview with you when you came to work here. You came from another department. There was, I don't remember what the question was, but in your answer, you told me how many hours and miles that were on your Quint, what year it was or whatever. I think we actually kind of asked you additional questions about the piece of equipment because you were firing them off. And I said to you, how do you know all that information walking into an interview you're interviewing for a job in another fire department? But your response to me was, that's my rig. What is it about this job? Because we hear a lot of ownership, and Chris just alluded to it. These are my people, and I'm taking care of my people, my community. I know that Michael Albert has to feel that too about Wichita West. This is my community. I volunteer, or I'm assuming you volunteer because you're trying to contribute and make something better. But I think there's something unique to firefighters with that ownership. Do you remember that?
Absolutely.
That conversation?
Vividly.
And what is it about the ownership, you and that rig? What is it? Why is that? How does that motivate and drive you, and you assume that responsibility?
in my introduction, I talked about the serving people. Chief, I was much like you in the beginning where it was the adrenaline, the, man, we're going to get on the rig, we're going to go fight fire. Well, anybody that's been in the service any length of time, you realize that that's not your day-to-day. Yes, it's our job. That's right. But you're waiting for that call. You're waiting for that opportunity. And some come more than others. Being a type A personality person and being very mechanically brained, not very book smart, that was just something that I picked up on very young. It was very young as an explorer. The attention to detail, my battalion when I left Wiley, his name was Brian Ritter, huge mentor of mine. He was always attention to detail, attention to detail. Know your rig, that's your rig for 24 hours. And my expectation of you is you know everything about this rig. And I took very, when I promoted to driver, I took very serious pride in the fact that that was my rig. We had the oldest rig in the city and people would come up and go, hey, I saw on the city council thing that y'all were up for a new Quint. Yeah, yes, sir, yes, ma'am. Why? I mean, that thing looks brand new. Well, man, that thing has 100,000 miles on it. And, you know, we need a little bit longer ladder in this district. That thing has 100,000 miles? Well, yeah. So, you know, you hear all the guys talking training about that's my salt. That's my tool. That's mine. Well, as the driver, that's my rig and those are my tools. And the guys on that helped me maintain that. And it's the ownership aspect of the way that my brain works, being very mechanical, of if I'm going to serve the citizens, I need to know my job, my rig, and my tools. And I just took a lot of pride in that. And it's never gone away.
In Wichita West, Michael, so from a volunteer's perspective, and certainly when somebody comes in there, I got to believe that there are people that migrate to that activity of volunteer firefighter for the excitement level. But what is the, because honestly, you're in a small rural area, you know, what you show up with is what you got. It's the last line of defense, if you will, whether you guys are out there on a wildland fire scenario or, you know, and your challenges aren't, you're not short of challenge when you're out in those rural areas, but what's the ownership or the, this is my community and that altruistic, you know, purpose of showing up?
You know, it's different for everybody, Chief. That's, you know, there's some guys that, you know, we get out of bed at 2 o'clock in the morning for the same EMS call for the same guy that calls every third day. And we know what it's going to be. We know it's just, you know, he walks out to the ambulance, but then you've got the guys that, you know, they only show up when it's a working job or it's, you know, a good wildland fire. So that's a difficult thing with the volunteer. You know, we all want the excitement. Everybody wants to, you know, fight fire. That's why we do it. But you know, you're right. In a rural community, we don't have a lot of structure fires. We do have a lot of wildland fires here. So we focus a little bit, we focus on everything, a little bit more on that because we do so much, but for me, I just like helping people. I kind of learned that early on, Boy Scouts, and that my gainful employment, we help people. That's why I get out of bed at 2 o'clock in the morning. That's why we do it. And I'd like to think that's why everybody on my department does it. And I think right now in this case, you know, you'll have a couple here and there that don't, but you know, the guys, I love every one of them. And every one of them show up because they just want to do the right thing and help people.
Can any of them beat Rick Lasky to the station?
Well, that's how much time we got? Chief Lasky sleeps with his radio on. Y'all know that.
Oh, yes.
If he sleeps. And I could actually was beating him because I live a lot closer to the station. But one of our lieutenants, she moved closer to the station than him by about a mile. So she now beats him and has the rig cranked up waiting on him to drive her around. So he's pretty quick out the door because he'll listen to all the other channels and get a jump on it.
Yep. Hey, so Jordan, what do you think the role and I'm going to let you go first. I want Scott to weigh in on this, but you're considered a new guy where you're at, right? But you're not you're not a new guy, but you have to accept the role of no doubt that you do. Of what your responsibilities are at the colony at this point in time in your career. you're going to transition from that new guy to the senior guy at some point in time, that the people that come in underneath you, what's your role to those newer people? Like, you're looking at and I think Josh said this about the engagement of his crew, but what's your outlook as you transition out of being the new guy in this organization to being the more stable or the guy that people are looking to?
Yeah, I think for me, when that switch happens, I mean, I don't know when that's going to be, it, you know, naturally occurring most times, but when a new group of hires, you know, come in and now I'm the mentor, like I have my current mentor now. And then when I get that task to be that new guy's mentor, I think what's most important for me is that he has somebody to come to and talk to. So there has to be direct communication between me and him, that when he's having a rough day, right, whenever he's coming to work and something's happened, could be home life, could be something at work, somebody said something, whatever the case may be, he's got a direct line of communication to me to trust me that we can have a conversation. I'm not going to take that elsewhere, right? So he has trust in a sounding board. We call it a sounding board, right? He can bounce ideas, he can suggestions, things like that, and I can respond to that and keep those conversations private. I want him to feel at home. I want him to feel like he has a second family, just like most of us desire to have when we come to the fire station. That's not, you know, every third day, or, you know, in our case, every 2 days out of 48, you know, it that's our family. Those are the guys that I spend, you know, another half of my life with, a third of my life with. And I love them just like they're my brothers, and that, you know, take a part of that. I want that new guy to feel that too. And there's certain things you have to do to earn that, right? You have to earn respect. You have to earn trust. These are things that we have to do. And I'm not great at that. Don't let me sit here and tell you that I'm the best at that, or I'm, because I'm not. And I have to constantly remind myself that, yeah, I'm starting over again from the beginning, and I've got to be better. And I've got to prove myself to a whole new family, to where, you know, they love me as much as I love them.
Scott, he brings up mentor, and I know how important this is to you. And I know that this is it's almost a foundation, for lack of a better word, of the type of culture or what you're trying to instill and make sure that you've got those principles in place in the colony. But do you, I would imagine that you do, but when you sit and listen or interview or evaluate people that are coming into your organization, you start to identify and go, that guy's going to be a fantastic mentor, because you know it. I mean, I think you get a sense of that even on your first impression of somebody, right?
Absolutely. And Jordan, that was a great answer, but you know, we want to make sure that they're going to be a great fit. You know, we're proud of what we have going on, and we do a lot of great things, and we want people that are going to support that. You know, Josh talked about the training, and Jordan talked about the trust, and all those things are huge. And you know, I'm sure both Jordan and Josh will progress into that, where they are mentors, and the things that were passed on to them, they will pass on, and we'll add some things to it. But also, you know, actively being advocates for what we're trying to do, this chosen culture and this service philosophy and taking care of one another. And so, yeah, but the mentoring and coaching thing, I think, and Jordan, Josh, feel free to step in on this though. That's kind of the foundation of what we're about, is we want people to come into the organization and position them for success. We don't try to beat them down or wear them out or you know, all the, you know, try to make them quit. We want to bring them in and try to support them so that, you know, both of these gentlemen came from great departments and they put a lot of faith in coming to the colony. And, you know, one of the pressures in my world is we don't want to disappoint these guys, because that is a big, big deal. So we put a lot of investment in that, but we want to make sure it's the right fit and that they're going to give back and invest in those generations to come and then be officers. And when they're officers, they're going to be mentors and coaches for the members of their crew. So, I mean, I think that's kind of the foundation of really what we're about. Jordan, Josh, would you guys agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. This is the first formal mentorship program I've been a part of. I've definitely identified, you know, mentors, or I guess I used to call them just senior members at the time. but this process I can see being exceptionally successful. Mine specifically, you know, is I've been in the fire service since 2013. Like I said, I thought I had a pretty good handle on stuff, and just not only the skill set that I'm able to learn from this guy and my crew, but I think it's also equally, if not more important, the way they impress on me to carry on this culture of, you know, lack of complaining and getting in gear and doing the thing, essentially just being as much of a professional as you could possibly be. And for it to be a formal embedded process in an organization where everybody buys into it is, I'm amazed that it actually exists.
Just to kind of add to that as well, if I can.
Yeah.
You know, in my old department, we didn't have the member or somebody to mentor you. It was brand new to me, and I thought for the longest I didn't know, you know, what to expect or what to do. But as soon as I met my mentor, he welcomed me with open arms and just took care of me. You know, just like if I would mess up, he would be like, "Hey, it's all right. Let's keep going, build from this, and we'll just, you know, try better next time." And that's what I do. You know, I try to give 100% that I can each call, each day that I'm on shift. So it's the mentor program. It really does work. It's fantastic, I think.
One thing that I know that is different about the Colonies mentorship program versus the other departments that I work for, other things is that not only am I assigned this mentor, but I'm stationed with this mentor. I ride the same apparatus as a mentor. So typically in my past experience, it's been, hey, here's 5 shifts of mentorship. If they assign you a mentor, this is your mentor. And then you get shipped out somewhere else. So my current mentor sees me when I feel great and motivated and I'm ready to do my job. But he also sees me when, you know, my sinuses are flared up and I don't feel my best and whatever the case may be. So he's able to, you know, really truly be a mentor and help correct and guide and shape and form. And that's very specific to the colony. And I think it's great that I'm able to live life with him and be there. And, you know, I'll shout out to Giles right now. I think he's doing a great job and I love working with him.
So we'll start to close this thing out, but I do want to go around the horn and just kind of hear what everyone's thoughts are on. And I guess my question would be, is that what do you view as your responsibility to the fire service? I've kind of settled into a phrase that I use and it's probably not the best, but I always kind of remind people, please don't take more from this or us or Louisville or the fire service than you're willing to give us. I think that's a skewed relationship when things get to that point. And basically all I'm saying is that I need you to bring something to the table. I don't view this as a job. I view it as a career. I think Scott used to use a phrase that said, I don't want to hire employees. I want to hire firefighters. And you know, I think there's a lot to be said with that, but given what your perspective is of the fire service and what you're doing each and every day, and we'll start with Jordan, you're up on my screen, but what do you view as your responsibility to the fire service?
Well, for me, you know, my responsibility is to be my best, and I can't come there to work into the shift and fall into complacency, right? I need to be a desire to be faster. If I can cut my mask up time from 15 seconds to 10 seconds, you know, that's a 5-second savings, right? And that's important. There is things and improvement to be made to where I can be better for the citizen. That 5 seconds could be the difference of, you know, getting to that victim that's down, laying down in the corner in the closet, in between, sandwiched between the bed, whatever the case may be, between, you know, it's life and death. And I know that, you know, we use that phrase kind of too freely, but sometimes there really is a difference. And so my responsibility to the citizens of the colony is that when I show up to work, I'm there to come for you. I'm there for when it's the worst possible scenario for you, I'm going to be my best and I'm going to come and get you. And that's my responsibility to the city, to my fire chief, to my captain, the people that I work with.
Yeah, you know, Chief Salk always says that you talk about saving 5 seconds, and he always says, appropriately so, that those aren't your seconds. those seconds belong to somebody, and they need every one of them. And so thanks for that. Josh, what about you? What do you take as your responsibility to the fire service?
Jordan made some great points, and obviously all of us here second those. Just to add on to that, growth would be something for me, just to always be improving and devoting more time to this job. That's probably what the fire service has given me and probably everyone here, everything, food on the table, my house. So for me to show up to work and just put the effort in and truly, you know, be that professional fireman, is what I strive to do, you know, hang my hat up at the end of each tour and say, I did something, whether it be through those 911 calls or the training, that's what it means to me.
Rodrigo, what about you?
Yes, sir. I think I'm responsible for fire service. I think what I can do is just train at every little thing that I can to improve. Like Jordan and Josh said, you know, you got to risk a lot to save a lot. You have to be able to put yourself out there and work on those scenarios, because those scenarios are going to come. Now they're going to happen. So you have to train. You have to know your stuff. You have to be there for the citizens. So you have to be ready. So.
Michael, Albert, from your perspective, what do you owe the fire service? What's your responsibility?
You've had a little bit of time while they were talking. I wrote it down so I didn't screw this one up. So, my responsibility as a chief officer is to provide our members a positive environment with exceptional training and competent leadership. By doing those things, you know, we're going to create an environment people want to be a member of. We'll be able to recruit and retain. Our turnover rate's not very high for a volunteer fire department, and we'll take care of our community. And hopefully, you know, we'll be able to train guys that want a career doing this, and we'll have a little bit of a leg up on some of the other guys when it comes testing time.
What about you, Michael Towne? What do you think? And what you do every day, but long term, over the span of your career, what do you think is the one thing that you owe back to the fire service?
I feel the one thing that I owe back is to pass it on. A lot of these guys talked about, I know Rodrigo, you know, talked about set risk a lot to save a lot. Listening to Corley Moore's podcast this morning on the way in, I heard a really good phrase of, you prepare a lot to save a lot. Well, Rodrigo, Jordan, all you gentlemen brought up the fact that we're going to train. Well, you know, through the transition of the career, you can train and train and train. You can throw the ladder class. Chief, you talked about, you know, the guy that's been there 15 years doesn't want to go through ladder one again. All that stuff. My responsibility with the little bit of time that I have in the fire service is I want to take things that people have passed to me, add to it, and then try to teach even the senior guys a trick that maybe they didn't know. Maybe that's something we can do differently. Maybe that's something I learned teaching at the college that I could pass on. Hey, did you guys know that this engine is possible to do this with our engines? And a lot of guys do and some guys don't. But I feel personally my responsibility is to try to pass on to the newer guys like Chris Lee sitting in front of me. A lot of the guys that I work with and then, you know, teaching off duty and stuff like that, just trying to pass on the senior guys, what I've learned and, you know, what we can put together and try to pass that on to the guys coming in.
All right, so Chris, you're last up. I muted my mic earlier and I told Chris I was making him last and all the good answers would be gone. But, you know, he's got all this psychological warfare in his head, and so I know he can dazzle us. But what do you think, Chris? What's your responsibility?
So I think what separates firefighters from others, being able to be humanistic. I think you have to be approachable. And do a little more. So you have to care a little more than what you need to. It's not just, oh, this patient needs an oxygen, so give him oxygen, my job is done. Just care a little more, be humanistic about things. Really approach that as this old lady is my grandmother or my parents. You know, do a little more than that and be approachable. Not, I don't want to be an authority figure as a firefighter, for me personally. I want to be the a family man firefighter, you know, all approachable, the friendly firefighter that we're supposed to be. So that's my take on being a firefighter.
So I'm not going to take the easy road on this, and I, without using the catchphrases and the common or the easy low hanging stuff to sit here and say, make it a better place than you found it. Because I think everybody wants to do that. I always tell guys when we hire new people, I always tell them that you are a firefighter 24/7. You don't get to pick and choose. You're a role model. You may not want to be, but you are one and you need to act like it. This profession has provided me everything. Somebody said that earlier, and it has. It's given me more opportunity and experience and life experiences, and I've met the most wonderful people on the planet. And so I believe that when you come in, you commit, you sign on the dotted line, you're a firefighter all the time. Your neighbors know that you're firefighters. You put stickers on the windows of your car. I tell people on your social media posts, when your landing page shows you with, you know, the soot on your face and you're holding the hook and you're standing out at midnight, you know, it's the typical, you know, ladder 49 kind of thing going. But page 3 of your Facebook page better reflect that also. You don't get to scroll past that image and then it's you at the beach, you know, throwing up after drinking and that sort of thing. And so I think you have a tremendous responsibility to the fire service to uphold who we are, what we are, and what the next generation or the next group of firefighters are going to be. The Wichita Falls firefighter said, or fire chief said one day on this show, that he views that he's borrowing the reputation of the Wichita Falls Fire Department when he came here as the chief. I'm borrowing that reputation and it's my responsibility to give it back in good shape. And when he said it, I kind of laughed because everybody that rents a car, you drive the crap out of that car, right? So you do, they put you in some nice Honda Accord or something. And as soon as you leave that lot, man, you're squealing tires and slamming on the brakes. Let's see what this thing's got. All the stuff that you wouldn't do in your own vehicle. You don't care, especially if you buy the supplemental insurance on it, right? You don't care. But that's the way the fire service is, right? I think that we're here representing a small faction of professionals. And it's our job to make sure that when we hand that off to the younger guys that are on the show, that you are you're getting something of value, and right, and not in the rental car like, God damn, what'd they do to this thing? Man, this is in horrible shape. So Scott Thompson, what about you? You got any thoughts on that responsibility of the fire service, what your responsibility is?
Yeah, it's kind of twofold, you know, as a fire chief. The citizens have invested greatly in us. And, you know, you've seen the growth that the colony's had over the years, and they give us the best equipment and they're paying us pretty competitively. And so my job, you know, to use a sports analogy is to put the best team I can on the field, that there's a return on that investment. That's a very high value, not average, not a little above average, but to go out and try to get the best members that we can. So that's one side of it is a return on investment. And then, so I sit here and I listen to Jordan and Josh, and they're mentally, they're exactly where they need to be. So my job is to support that and make sure that nothing damages that. And we got 80 plus members, I think, that sit very similar. But, you know, my job is each day is to do whatever I need to do to position the men and women who ride the rigs for success and survival, whether it's tools, support, a culture that lets them be the firefighters they want to be. And I think, you know, a lot of fire chiefs kind of get in trouble when they lose touch of that and people start to walk out the door. You know, I can do one boneheaded thing and pretty soon people don't want to work here anymore. So I take that very seriously. But, you know, my job is to be the head cheerleader, to sit here and give these guys and gals everything that I possibly can and just make sure that they're set up to be successful. And those that have goals of promoting or advanced training, to do everything possible to help them achieve those goals. And then support programs, so when they decide it's time to walk out the door, they're as whole as possible. You know, we're all going to have physical and mental scars, but but make sure that they can enjoy their family when they're off, their retirement when they retire, and come to work and be the best version of themselves that they can be. And I think if we do that, then the citizens are going to see that the money that they're spending on fire and EMS is providing the highest return. That's kind of my take on it.
So we're kind of at the end of the show here, and I want to tell anybody out there, if you have any questions or need to get in contact with anybody on this, rather than go back around the room here and give out email addresses, I could say you could contact me, and I'd be happy to get you in touch with any of these guys at tmcgrath@cityoflouisville.com. I want to thank each and every one of you for being on here. Thanks for being candid. I think you colony guys, you kind of softballed that a little bit. I think there's some things about Scott that if any of you guys want to meet out there at the truck yard, I
guarantee you there is, and they're being nice, but I guarantee you, I'm certainly not the perfect person, but we got some great individuals who make this work, and it's not me.
Yeah, I do appreciate y'all's time, and I appreciate your courage to come on here. I know that Chris and Rodrigo I didn't have to beg them, but I also know that there's that tinge of hesitancy and say, man, I don't want to step out there. And I will say, I think that's a unique quality about some people that be willing. And I think Rodrigo kind of hinted at that, is to get out there, man. I mean, you're not going to win. You're not going to hit a home run every time, right? They always say that, a darn good batting average is 300, and do the math on that. And so, but I think it is our nature. We don't want to fail. We don't want to look dumb. We don't want to, and getting on a show like this, it's uncomfortable. I understand that. And I appreciate you guys, committing to this and coming on here and being candid with us. We never end any of our shows without saying to the men and women serving armed forces that be safe, and we wish you nothing but the best. And of course, there's some people on this show today that I know feel that particular way. And I wish everyone out there a safe shift and working towards a safe retirement, because at the end of the day, the family needs to be first. And I hope that this provides you the opportunity to do something meaningful with your life, but also provide for your family and retire and live out your later days. But I appreciate Michael Towne. He didn't even know he was coming in here, and again, I told him out in the hallway, hey, come on in here, and I'm sure he was thinking, he was trying to sit out of camera view, but he stepped up to the plate and hit his 300. I appreciate that. Anyway, thanks for tuning in. Our next show, I apologize. I usually write that date down. Chief Lasky always has it, and I don't. It's third Wednesday of every month, so we'll be back June with something else exciting. I'm sure Chief Salka, Chief Lasky, Chief Halton will be back, and we hope that you can tune in then, and tune in every Wednesday to a different Hump Day Hangout. Great topics, great people. June 16th. Thank you, Michael Towns. He went up to 333 right there. And don't forget FDIC August 2nd through the 7th, FDIC.com, if you need information there. Thank you all, and be safe.